Good morning. So we have so much going on in our church today. Exciting time. How many of you went to the beach today? How many of you are still sunburned? So, but we have something else coming up. We have the church retreat this week. And then... Hey. So I bet a number of you have been to this before. But this is our first time, as far as I know, that our entire congregation is going together. So we just want to encourage you. You know, I think God is making a special provision for us just this year. Because we wanted to have a tailgate party and some entertainment at the event. And again, I apologize to say this. I'm Chinese. So I want to have a tailgate party with good food, but I don't want to spend any money. And I want to have a great program. Again, I don't want to dish out any money. But what God did was He provided for us. So Harvest People are going to provide a tailgate party with food and games and door prizes just for us. Well, all the churches that are participating churches, which we are one of. So come if you can at 3 o'clock on this Saturday, August 18. And then program, right? Nobody wants to hear Pastor Dave give another boring sermon. Yeah, program. Is it a program? Well, Harvest is again providing. God is providing through them. And they're going to have a motocross bicycle jumping free of charge from 5 to 7 o'clock that evening, just on Saturday night. So I just want to encourage you, if you can, to join us. We need to have a pretty good head count by the end of today about who's going. Also, who needs a ride and who can give a ride. So we're trying to work together as a team to make this all happen. But God is good. Amen. Amen. And so see Grace outside or Margaret at the table next to Oscar and Harris's table. And see if you can provide a ride for someone or if you need a ride. Okay? Well, listen to this one as we begin today's message. This Hawaii guy shows up for his university final examination, which consists of yes or no questions. So the Hawaii guy takes his seat in the examination hall, stares at his question paper blankly for 5-10 minutes, and then in a fit of inspiration, he takes out a coin from his pocket and starts flipping it in the air and marking the answer sheet yes for heads, no for tails. Wow. And he goes through it. Awesome. Within half an hour, he's done. While all the rest of the class is still sweating it out, trying to finish this. How's this? But at the end of the two-hour exam, during the last few minutes, the Hawaii guy again starts throwing the coin in the air and starting to sweat again. The moderator looks over, he's kind of alarmed. So he goes over to the Hawaii guy and asks, "What is going on?" The Hawaii guy says, "I went finished the exam early, but now I stay checking my answers." You got to be from Hawaii to really understand that one, I think. But you know, today I want to ask you. You'll get that one in a few minutes, okay? Today I want to ask you another yes or no question. And the question is this. Do rules bind you or free you? Do rules bind you or free you? You know, I think most Americans would say rules bind. Rules restrict. Rules weigh you down. I remember my classmates at Lunalilo Elementary School in beautiful Makuhli in Hawaii. My classmates at Lunalilo Elementary saying that rules were like straitjackets. Rules were to be avoided at all costs. The guys in my fourth and fifth grade class would even sing songs about our beloved school burning down. Anybody sing that song? We didn't sing that song. Terrible. And my classes, I remember they would somehow fall asleep at the 8 o'clock morning bell and then wake up suddenly at the 2:45, you know, ding, ding, ding. All that time they're sleeping. And then their biggest dream was racing out of those doors on the last day of school. How many of you had that dream? Anybody? Come on, guys. No? Okay, one person's honest here, man. And even though we are older now, I bet some of us still hate rules. We hate restrictions. We hate commands. You don't want to be commanded around, do you? And we especially hate God's commands. In fact, we hate them so much, we have tried to ban God's commands from public display. State legislatures have banned prayer to start their assemblies. They did that in Hawaii. No more prayer. Can't do that here. Judges have banned the Ten Commandments and even the baby Jesus from being portrayed in courthouses. And even our beloved U.S. Supreme Court has banned God's Word from interfering with our redefinition of marriage. Why? Because we hate God's commands. We hate them so much we try to erase them. We try to ignore them. We try to declare them unconstitutional. And we do that whenever and wherever we can. Therefore, it is somewhat jarring to come across these words in Psalm 119:96. You know, we are reading through the Bible in four seasons, going through the whole Bible, a portion every day. And if you have the time, this was from yesterday's reading. This was the last verse from yesterday's reading. But Psalm 119:96 says these upsetting words. To all perfection, I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Again, if you have a Bible and you don't mind writing in it, just take out a pen or pencil and circle that word, if you have it, boundless. Some of your Bibles might translate it as broad. Broad. Let me see what is the other translations I have. Yeah, broad, without limit, without end. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But the Bible that I just read today says, your commands, God's commands, are, and circle that word, boundless. What on earth is he talking about? What's this about? You know, these words were originally written in Hebrew. And in Hebrew, I just know a little bit, but in Hebrew, the latter half of this verse goes like this. Rehaba miswateka meot. Rehaba miswateka meot. Which some Bibles translate as, thy commandment is exceedingly broad. Or another translation is, your command, God, is without limit. Try to catch these guys. Another translation says, your word is without end. Or in a word, your command, God, is boundless. You can go to the next slide, guys. Yeah, that's it. Your command is boundless. And here, in this one word, you and I come face to face with an ancient paradox. And the paradox is this. Bind your life to God's commands. And God will make your life boundless. Let me repeat that. Bind your life to God's commands, and God will make your life boundless. I don't know about you, but this is weird. This is countercultural. This is politically incorrect. But could it possibly be true? I read this book recently, and I think Moses would say yes. Moses grew up amongst the wealthy. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's, as a king's household. Moses was the adopted son of Pharaoh's own daughter. And Moses had power and money and prestige and comfort all in the palm of his hand. Yet a series of events led him to give everything up and to bind himself to God and God's word. And when Moses did so, God used Moses to free some 2 million Jewish slaves out of slavery into the promised land. Joseph. I think Joseph too would say yes. Joseph, like Moses, made a decision to bind himself to God's rules. Anybody here want to bind yourself to rules? Joseph did. Joseph made a decision, I'm going to bind myself to God's rules. And one of God's rules is this. One of God's rules says, do not commit adultery. Do not sleep around. Do not look at another man's wife with lust in your heart. I don't know if I want to follow that one, guys. It's kind of tough, especially in this day and age, right? But Joseph said, I'm going to bind myself to God's ways. So, when Joseph was head steward in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife had eyes for him, Joseph ran for his life. And what did he get for that? He was falsely accused and imprisoned for his faith. But God was not through with him. And his imprisonment became a doorway through which Joseph became, you know the story, Prince of Egypt. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Yeah, you know, some people still kind of have some doubts. I mean, if I bind myself to God's commands, will God really make my life boundless? I mean, it's like nonsensical. Well, I too say yes. You know, almost 30 years ago, a proud young man named Dave had dreams of becoming an international economist. And I thought I was well on my way. I thought I was pretty hot stuff, you know. I mean, I thought I got the top marks in the graduate school of economics in my university. Only had 2 people. No. But God was calling me to full-time ministry. And at first, my family is not even Christian. Nobody in my family is a pastor. So I resisted. You know, I made logical excuses. Oh, I have all this training in economics, and I'm so good at it. There's no jobs anyway in pastoring work. No pay. And I ignored that still, small voice within me. I ignored it. And ignored it. and ignored it. Until one day, I couldn't ignore it anymore. And I gave in to God's call. And when I gave in to God's call, I knew I was saying goodbye to my dream. Goodbye to my international travel plans. I was going to be an international economist, remember? Travel all over. Man, that's going to be me. My name in the paper. I said goodbye to helping people as an economist throughout the world. But you know what happened? God almost immediately sent me to Wisconsin, where I fell in love with a beauty from India. My goodness, we wouldn't have four children if... That's another story. And then God sent me to Tokyo as a full-time missionary. Tokyo, my dream destination. I love Japanese food. Man. God sent me and my wife Naro to Burma first as short-term missionaries, then to Korea, and recently with Kevin and his family to Mexico. Then God sent us back to the shores of, nobody wants to go there, Hawaii. And now God has sent us to this valley in beautiful San Gabriel. I mean, when you humble yourself before God's commands, God takes you places you could have never imagined. I think Moses and Joseph would agree to that. Is that small voice speaking to you? Bind yourself to God's commands, and God will make you boundless. Moses believes that. Joseph believes that. And then there is a guy named Jesus. Jesus who only did what he saw his father doing. Did you believe it? Can you believe that? He would never do anything else, just like bound. Only what he saw his father doing, he would do. Nothing else. Jesus who only said what he heard his father saying. It's kind of strict, huh? I want to talk on my own. I want to be free, free, free. Jesus, who was bound to the law and to the commandments as tight and as strict and as unyielding as anyone could ever be. And God raised this Jesus up to be Savior of the world. Man, I'm just starting to think, is in God's economy, in God's mind, is there an inverse relationship here somehow? The more you bind yourself, the more you become boundless. In the world, it's opposite. The more you get bound, I don't want to be bound. But in God's ways, the more you bind yourself to His Word and His love, even His commandments, then, whoo! Hey, is that what's happening here? Is that what's happening? Ladies and gentlemen, when you bind yourself to worldly things, you just get torn down, man. You get stepped on, pushed around, wound up so tight you can't move anymore. But when you bind yourself to God's commands, it's like the opposite. God frees you. I looked up the word boundless in the Webster's dictionary. I need the dictionary a lot. From Hawaii, I don't know many words. But boundless, this is how Webster's dictionary defines boundless, okay? Boundless. One, having no boundaries. My. Two, boundless, vast. And he gives an example, boundless possibilities. Isn't that great? You know, Webster's was a devoted Christian, and I'm going off the subject. I think he hit it on the nose here, man. He knew the Bible. Because boundless means when God takes your hold of your life, it's boundless possibilities, boundless opportunities for you. You know, many people still have the mistaken impression that God's commands will limit them. No, no, sir, no, ma'am. You know, it reminds me of the story of a group of boys were gathering together to play soccer. A group of boys had gathered to play a soccer match. And everyone was there except the referee. So the boys couldn't wait any longer. So they decided to begin the game anyway. Early in the match, one of the teams appeared to kick the ball out of bounds. "Our ball," the other team yelled. "Why?" cried their opponent. "Your ball went out of bounds." "No, it didn't." "Yes, it did." "No, it didn't." Next, one of the players got kneed in the groin. Oh. "Foul, foul." "No foul, no foul. Keep playing, keep playing." And soon the game deteriorated into a hollering match. But just as things were about to boil over, the referee showed up. "Okay, boys, break it up. These are the boundaries," the referee said, clearly showing the outlines of the field to the boys. "And no unnecessary roughness and no back talk. You got it? Okay, let's play ball." And from then on, the boys had the time of their life. You see, God gives us boundaries for a reason. Boundaries in marriage, boundaries in your career, boundaries in your church, boundaries in your mind. Why? Because if we play by His rules, we will have the time of our lives. Anybody can test that? Anybody have a testimony about that? Anybody? Come on. I'm the only one today. Another one. Anybody else? You must have one. You guys are. Amen. Amen. See, it's counterintuitive, man. Even for the church, we've bought into this culture's ways of doing things and ways of thinking. And we think that commands and laws and rules are bad. But God is saying, "My commands are sweet, are good, and you will be freed if you bind yourself to them." You know, interesting, I saw a July 2016 article in some publication called PR Newswire, and the title was, "Latest Happiness Index Reveals American Happiness at All-Time Low." I was thinking about what's going on. I mean, we think that restrictions make us unhappy, so we get rid of God's restrictions. No more Bible in the courtroom. No more Bible in our marriage laws. No more Bible in our legislatures. So, shouldn't we be happy? Another stat says, according to the Harris poll, not Harris Chan, the Harris National poll, only 1 in 3 Americans say they're very happy. So look at your neighbors. One of you is happy. 1, 2 of you are not. But in the church, we should all be happy. Okay? And in a related finding published in the New York Times, listen to this one, guys. Since the 1980s, the percentage of American adults who say they are lonely has doubled, from 20% to 40%. How can we be lonely? It's so crowded. I mean, we used to live in Tokyo, maybe one of the most crowded places. You guys are from, many of you are from Hong Kong, maybe that's worse. But you go into the subway station, and you know, like, you go in, and someone else pushes you, and then something, and then pretty soon you're just, you know, and you're up next to these, like, other sex, and you're trying not to touch, but you can't help out. And they say that one of the biggest problems in Japan is loneliness. And I was thinking, how can that be? Just go on the subway. But more and more people are lonely. Why? Because they haven't found out this truth from God. Because paradoxically, incredulously, but truly, those who bind themselves to God and God's word, those who submit to God's commands, those who bow down to God, those who delight in God's word, God will take you and make your life boundless. Today we discovered this truth, which is hidden to many today. Maybe some of you are still hidden to you. But I pray not. Because it has been known throughout the ages. Bind your life to God's commands, and God will make your life boundless. Bind your life to God's commands, and God will make your life boundless. Anybody here want a life that is boundless? Anybody? Anybody? Let's pray together. Father, we got to turn our minds around a little bit on this one. Maybe a lot. Because you are teaching us something that is so strange that we would never believe it unless it were true. But so many from the Bible, Moses and Joseph, even Jesus himself, can attest to this truth. So I want to ask if you would like to enter into this truth as well. But right now, you will commit yourself to binding your life to God. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, ask Him into your heart to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, you become bound into God's family, and God will never let you go. Through all the days to come, your name will be written, guaranteed in His book of life. And someday when your body does die, He will welcome you into His heavenly abode. That's God's promise. That's how you bind yourself to Him. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. You must go to God through Jesus. So if you want to bind yourself to God right now, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me, to ask Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. And if you do, remember God's paradoxical promise that you will become boundless. Does anybody want to receive Jesus right now as their Lord and Savior? To bind yourself to God. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen, amen. Anybody else? One more time. Keep your hands raised just for one more second. Anybody else? Amen, amen. Okay, you can put your hands down. Would you repeat this prayer after me? And if you know Jesus already, you can repeat it also. Maybe you need to recommit your life to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you rose from the dead to give me life. Life that is free. Life that is eternal. And life that is boundless. So right now, I ask you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Take over my life from this day forward until I see you in heaven. And I know, according to your promise, that you will make me boundless. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus is right in your heart now. And again, if you want to take some next steps in your life, please see me after the worship today. I'd like to talk to you. But God bless you. God bless you in your boundless life with Jesus.